Absolutely. Okay, welcome to Stop the Presses. Not hearing the incoming music quite as well as I usually do, but I'm parachuting in. Your host, Mark Anderson, today coming to you live the 22nd of February, 2023. And per usual, I'm joined by Ronald F. Avery out of Seguin, and he's doing the video simulcast. As always, it goes to livestream.com/stopthepresses. Livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /stopthepresses. Check myself on that one. Let me get seated and situated here. Still using my new desktop because I get a little tired of that tablet. I trust I'm coming through okay, Ron.
Yes, sounds good.
Tasting 1, 2, 3, as the old my old musician sound check used to be. Tasting 1, 2, 3. But lots of interesting things in the news, of course, when isn't there? And I'll probably get through several miscellaneous items today. One of the things in terms of more breaking news is, according to what I've gathered, and that includes the research of activist James Roguski out of Los Angeles, the working group of the International Health Regulations of the WHO, the World Health Organization, started meeting this past Monday and is meeting pretty much all week long in Geneva, Switzerland, to tweak the IHR, the International Health Regulations, that are part of the substance and the basic framework of the pending World Pandemic Treaty. And this is something, ladies and gentlemen, live and on the archive, you're going to hear me talk about a lot. There is nothing more imperative in terms of current events than defeating at all costs this World Pandemic Treaty. It must not be allowed to come into binding legal existence, even though it's unlawful. The One World managers don't see it that way. They think that any idea that pops in their head and every time they sit down at some lectern that they have some sort of authority that they simply don't have and never have had. And Ron is very good at elucidating that. But that's going on. And then this coming Monday, the 27th of February, you might have heard me say this before, that's when I'm understanding that the actual negotiations on the treaty itself will start in earnest. Already, as I've talked about and written about, there's already a zero draft, an initial draft treaty with some 38 articles and 49 preamble points, 49 points in the preamble. It's somewhat long. It's not exhaustively long. But that's something to clearly watch out for. I've got some different things here to share. And we're going to go to start sharing for the video portion of this. I've got some things to share. And let's make sure that they're going to get through here. Here is one of the things. And Ron, is this coming through?
Yes, it is. Looks good.
Yeah, this is James Roguski's L.A.-based website. Well, he's based in L.A., and one of his websites is Screw the Who, Screw the WHO.
I like
it. From what I've seen so far, and his website is jamesroguski.substack.com. That's Roguski is R-O-G, like girl, U S like Sam, K like kangaroo I, Roguski, James Roguski.substack.com, and you'll see /P/ screw the who, and you'll see different variations there. But he's done some pretty good work, and he's collaborated with me a little bit in terms of my UK column work. And so there's the heat is being turned up, is what I'm getting at. More people are becoming aware and are circulating information on the pending WHO pandemic treaty. Of course, as the Epoch Times just reported, the concern, and there's evidence for this according to Epoch Times, the concern is that Joe Biden is, and his administration, the farcical, fraudulent president, many would say, he has gotten involved in the international health regulations. In other words, the U.S. is a party to that. And the Epoch Times is reporting that it appears as if the U.S. would enter into the treaty on the footing or on the basis of overriding virtually all national and subnational, that is, state and county authority to delineate their own regulations. When we had the COVIDocracy in 2020 and the crackdown and the clampdown, we still had a lot of resilience in our federal system where states and counties would opt out partially or completely of masking requirements, of social distancing, and the vax, the mRNA injections. But what we're hearing is that if things go the way they're going now and the way the Biden administration is oriented on those health regulations, U.S. states and the national government and subdivisions like counties, et cetera, would lose virtually all, if not all, of their ability and wherewithal to balk and opt out of these regulations. So it looks like they're trying to make a one-size-fits-all straitjacket to put on the world, Ron.
Yes,
And
it does.
yeah, maybe you'd like to comment at this point. It sounds like you got the dial set, so.
Yes. Well, I just love this logo here that says "Screw the Who." It's got a Phillips head screw driven into the medical symbol, the snake around the cane thing, and it's in the middle of the UN symbol.
Right.
And it just that's a bumper sticker if I ever saw one. So I
Oh,
think this afternoon, by the time 5 o'clock rolls around, I'll have that on my bumper.
I'm telling you what, I'll mention that to James perhaps. That is a really good idea. And let's look at some other things. Moving on, I wanted to get that hot stuff out there. Here's a little more about the situation. This is an article from Health Policy Watch. It still appears, Ron and listeners, that the news media, the mass media cartel, is virtually silent on the development or the further development of the IHR regs leading up to this coming Monday when the zero draft pandemic treaty talks are supposed to begin in Geneva, Switzerland at the WHO headquarters. I still continue seeing, Ron, like nonprofit organization websites like this one and academic websites or WHO related or direct WHO reporting, but nothing in the actual news media that I can find. I haven't looked real hard, granted, but I can't find anything substantive in the news that this stuff is even happening, which is all the more reason for concern that it is happening. They're being silent for a reason. They're bought and paid for by Big Pharma, of course. But here's another headline showing it for the video viewers, but also describing it for audio only. MPs, in other words, members of parliament around the world, to the WHO, if you want the pandemic treaty implemented, engage with us. And it says here that in the first paragraph, excuse me a second. It says parliamentarians from around the world have called on the WHO to engage civil society in the establishment of a quote pandemic treaty end quote if the organization hopes to have such a document not only ratified but implemented. So what they're saying, Ron, is that if you only engage with us, the members of parliament from around the world talking to the WHO, if you only engage with us, WHO, and include us, then you can, you know, pretty much count on ratification and implementation. They still don't understand that this extra constitutional supranational activity like this is unlawful on its face. It doesn't even matter what they do. There is no, as I understand it, there's really no legal constitutional, what would you call it? There's no genuine constitutional way for these nations to step, representatives of nations like members of parliament, to step outside of their function as a parliamentarian and wait around while people other than themselves negotiate a treaty, people who are unelected, who've never really been delegated any kind of authority. Then the members of parliament are waiting for people who, other than themselves, are working on this treaty, and then parliament would be maybe consulted on the back end, and then they're saying that's good enough.
Yes. You know, these, since our own government cannot obtain authority to tell you to get a vaccine or an injection and can't tell you to stay home. I mean, they can tell you, but they have no lawful authority to command you to stay home and close your business and all that stuff we went through. And well, now there goes our line. The sound. I don't know what that is.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but I can't talk. Something is happening when I speak. I don't know.
I hear
it's
you
okay
fine.
Now. I don't know what was going on there for a minute. But anyway, since they can't develop. I'm sorry, you were saying something?
I hear you just fine. Go. I think you were still going to comment.
Okay, yes. I don't know why they think that these treaties can do things that violate one's own constitution or principles of government.
That's it's what I'm saying. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
And these treaties aren't worth a spit. They're not worth the paper they're written on. And nobody in the world ought to follow any of them. It's just trash. And they're never analyzed. This article, these things, they don't analyze them. They say just because parliaments around the world are begging the World Health Organization to engage civil society as if that gave them authority. It doesn't do any of that stuff. They can't guarantee the people's will to alter their principles of government to be subjected to these kind of this. This is the Antichrist at work. This is just you might as well draw horns on this and a pitchfork. I mean, this is as satanic as it gets right here.
I think you nailed it, Ron. Is okay. I'm a member of the negotiating committee. The World Health Assembly, and I'm representing the United States, and I'm there to negotiate our inclusion in this treaty. The second I agree to any provision in that treaty that's contrary to the Constitution I took an oath for, the second I do that, I'm outside the law.
Yeah, that's right. None of this will ever be lawful. They flat cannot make this garbage. This tyranny can never be made lawful.
Yeah, exactly. And so all the premises are that this is okay. It's just a matter of the details. It's just a matter of the arrangements. Meanwhile, as I said, the media itself, what we actually call the news media, is barely touching this treaty news. And we're getting it from other organizations, the WHO itself and, you know, institutes and things like that. And here's another one. They've always got this paywall and stuff. We're getting around it. Another one from Health Policy Watch. U.S. eager, seeing this on the screen for video viewers, U.S. eager to move ahead with pandemic accord that promotes equity, but not transactional linkage between data and benefit sharing. I won't get into the details, but I'm really just focused on U.S. eager to move ahead with this accord. And again, anybody who's within the World Health Assembly who represents the states who's negotiating this treaty. Now, one caveat is the U.S. does have the constitutional power to enter into treaties. I'm not incorrect in saying that, right, Ron? That's correct.
That's right. That's right.
However, and I'm not an absolute expert on this. Most journalists are generalists, and I'm one of them. But however, just because you have the power or the option under your constitution to enter into a treaty, does that mean that you can enter into a treaty that sabotages the very nation you represent in terms of its own laws and its own constitution? So if you enter into a treaty that undermines the Constitution that gives you the ability to enter into a treaty, that's a huge contradiction. You're basically saying, okay, under my Constitution, I can enter into a treaty, but this particular treaty undermines that very Constitution.
Yeah, well, I mean that it never they certainly they cannot make a treaty that violates the document that gives them authority to even represent us. They can't violate the Constitution or even the principles, the known principles of our government, how we established it and what we established it for. It cannot violate those terms in a treaty. Because all of the, I mean that would be the simple way of overthrowing a government or a constitutional government is by the approval of a treaty that did that.
Yeah, I do remember a John Birch Society video called Revolution by Treaty, and it was narrated, if I remember right, by the longtime president of the JBS, John McManus, whose acquaintance I made some time ago, years ago. And there is, I believe, however, some, and I'm not looking it up right now, I don't have it in front of me, there is some legal disagreement on the treaty power in the Constitution and whether it allows treaties to be too dominant. Revolution by treaty, I think the main concern was that treaties were seen as being roughly on an equal footing. You know, they become the law of the land. And it might be a loophole in the Constitution. It might be one of those areas in the Constitution where they wrote things very generally. And it's a little bit open to interpretation. The Constitution is not perfect, of course. There are areas where more specificity is needed, particularly with regards to central banking and things like that. You know, so maybe there's a constitutional weak point or what you might call a blind spot there that allows treaties to be more predominant or carry more weight than they should. I'm not going to pretend I've got that nailed down, but
Mark,
I remember that.
yes, there's no mystery in correct interpretation of a constitution. I think it goes against just common sense that if you create a constitution with provisions, and then also provide for the making of treaties, and then these treaties become the law of the land. Uh-oh, whatever you're doing there, it's giving a lot of feedback.
I'm
Wow,
not
I'm going to
doing
quit talking because there's just too much racket. I don't know what's going on, but.
I don't either. I don't hear anything. Nothing on my end.
Plenty
Anyway, we're
on mind.
huh,
Okay.
strange. I can't explain it. Anyway, we're coming up on the break, but this is the key news right now, ladies and gentlemen. So those listening live and in the archive, you're going to want to get to know your local officials if you don't already, your sheriff, your county commissioners, at the city level, city commission, et cetera, and let them know way ahead of time, well in advance, you don't want any part of this treaty and that they need to contact state reps and federal reps, et cetera, to that effect. At any rate, we'll be right back.
Smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the Internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Welcome back to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson. It's the 22nd of February, 2023, and I'm joined, like usual, by Ron Avery, who does the video simulcast, livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /Stop the Presses. You still with me, Ron?
Yes.
Yeah. I wasn't hearing the music real well there. I'm still getting used to this new desktop, not using the tablet all the time. I got one more screen share here for the video viewers, describing it for audio-only listeners. This is another thing I probably won't spend a lot of time on, Ron, but it just shows you the viciousness of the abortion industry and how much that's grown in influence and the absolute refusal of those involved in that industry to stop the killing machine. And here we have another aspect of it you don't hear about real often. The Biden administration braces for ruling that could ban abortion pills. And this is a Texas federal district court judge, Matthew Kaczmarek, could strike down the Food and Drug Administration's decades-old decision to approve mifepristone. And this mifepristone is the abortion pill. And reading a little bit into this, it says, and note the language here, doctors and advocates, this is from Politico, a Capitol Hill journal newspaper, doctors and advocates are urging people to pre-order and stockpile abortion pills while they still can in the face of a looming court decision that could wipe out access to the drugs nationwide. District Court Judge Matthew Kaczmarek in Amarillo, Texas, that's way up north, could either strike down the FDA's decades-old decision to approve mifepristone, the first of two pills used to end a pregnancy, or roll back more recent agency decisions making the pills available via telemedicine, mail delivery, and pharmacy pickup. It goes on to note 18 states have already put restrictions on the pills, many of them as part of near total bans on abortion, but a ruling from Kaczmarek, an appointee of Trump, could either cut off access to the drugs in the mostly Democrat-led states where they remain legal, or reinstate rules mandating that patients only be able to receive them in person from a physician. Kaczmarek previously worked for the conservative group First Liberty Institute that brought cases aimed at restricting abortion access. And it just never, it never ends, Ron. The abortion industry, and I always describe it as that because it's not just individual doctors and miscellaneous clinics that provide this grisly service. It's a collective agency ruled mainly by Planned Parenthood, and it works like one large machine, and it's very much for profit, even selling tissue from aborted babies on the market. And we've talked about that before, Ron. When that was exposed, there should have been raids by the FDA with guns drawn on these Planned Parenthood and related clinics when that tissue sale thing came up. At any rate, what we see here is the forces of abortion, they don't even want patients to have to see a doctor. They want people to be able to get these pills whenever they can, wherever they can, and even stockpile them in private and just completely go, you might say, hyper-libertarian about it. And it just, I never really thought much about the abortion pill when I've discussed the tyranny of the abortion industry in recent times. But this is another aspect of it that's, it just shows you how they want no regulation of this deadly procedure in any way, shape, or form. And do you have any comments, Ron?
Yeah, this is, you know, this they want to have no obligation for fornication. Fornication is to be completely allowable, and there's no results from it. You just kill the baby. That's all you. And they want this open baby murder to continue.
You know, that is the basis of it. You'll notice that there's nothing about abstinence. There's nothing about sex only in marriage. There's no kind of moral underpinning to it. It's just get the drugs as easily as possible. How dare anyone try and limit this? How dare they even so much as make someone see a physician to get one? And wouldn't that, at the very bare minimum, be important? If you're going to take a drug that's so strong that it can kill a person inside of you, don't you think maybe you should see a physician on what that could do to you, yourself, the mother? I mean, what's incredible. And these are people that claim, I don't mean to interrupt, these are people that claim to be pro-women, pro-women's rights.
Yes.
And, this is just something I wanted to touch on briefly. I'll be coming back to this again through the written word and on this radio show and my various outlets. But we're getting to the bottom of the hour. Station ID. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the Snowflakes, and Oklahoma.
Stay strong, truth tellers, Stay strong,
Put my arms around you, and we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven. Oh, yeah,
yeah. Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Yeah, from the little big horn to the Rio Grande. It seems we've seen the last lemonade stand. Well, all the flea markets in the paper route.
Yes. And welcome to the second half of Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson. And I believe we have a caller, Pat from Texas. Are you with us?
Yeah, Ron, this is a good show. First, you got me interested in how Biden can keep on signing treaties and putting our security under the UN and all that stuff. And the Senate's even going along with them. So, I mean, I know we don't own the Senate, but I'm going to find out who voted with him. And the other thing is the methotrexate. I remember when I turned on the TV back in the day, somebody else's house, and they had a local reporter, and he said, I'm outside such and such a high school here, and he said the school nurses are giving methotrexate to students, and they hope that the parents won't mind. I was kind of baffled by that because methotrexate was designed, I think, around 2010. It's designed for people with terminal cancer that nothing else will treat them. If you want to know what that stuff is, I couldn't believe it. And I I really wish we could get Schwab back. We'd have babies. I mean, he wouldn't go along with all this killing and all this stuff. Anyway, I guess we got to just start writing letters to see. I have a Democratic representative in Washington. Unfortunately,
I appreciate your comments, Pat. I'll just chime in briefly. We had a couple other callers. This last half of the show goes quick, so we want to be fair to everyone. But I appreciate your insightful comment. It's important to remind people that they were handing this out at high schools and apparently giving it to students without the parents' knowledge. Now, think about what that means. First of all, a parent would be rather rattled to find out that their daughter, high school-age daughter, was pregnant, or they'd be rather concerned, to say the least, if their high school-age son got another girl pregnant. But what could possibly upset them more than that if they found out that despite the shock of finding out about the pregnancy, that they also found out that maybe the young lady or the duress a young man might put on a young lady got her to take that pill and terminated the pregnancy. Maybe those parents would think, well, this pregnancy is pretty early in life for my daughter, but that doesn't mean they want to destroy the child. So in other words, the schools are participating in the destruction of the grandchildren of those parents. Plain and simple, destroying them. I mean, this is criminality that isn't recognized as criminality. This is all criminal, felonious behavior. People should go to jail for extremely long periods of time for this stuff. Gargantuan periods of time. At any rate, I appreciate your comments. I think Tom from Utah is up next.
That's right.
Tom, you out there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I think so. Keep talking.
Yeah, I have kind of a pathetically poor phone. But anyway, what really drives me cuckoo in all of this is nobody has ever told you the truth about pathogenesis. In other words, the method of disease transmission. And of course, they keep you in ignorance. That facilitates their profiteering off of your disease or your ignorance about the diseases. No disease moves through the air. That is a fact. And I get a little bit disappointed in some of my students, like Mekovich and Tenpenny, the like, when they fail to tell you the only way to contract the disease is to move the fomite into your body. And what is a fomite? It's a package of fat, flesh, and plasma, the requirements of the pathogen. Sunlight is its archenemy along with oxygen. So where is oxygen? Everywhere. So how do you get a disease to go from one individual to another? You actually don't. You have to infuse that disease. That's why we use that term infection. Not affection or affection, but infection. Once you understand that, you don't have to worry about a vaccine or anything else to protect you from a disease. You make the right choices. And half of my life, I was part of the AMA. I bought into the gaslight. And then when I hit the steel table myself at age 50, halfway through my life, I said, wait a minute, I got to come to grips with what I know from the lab. You can't culture any disease in air. You have to have a petri dish full of fat, flesh, gelatin, blood. That's the material upon which these things flourish. And I got sick with a COVID back in 1963 when one of my students unfortunately mishandled the petri dish, and he and I both got splattered in the face with our mouths open with the blood and tissue in those petri dishes. He and I both spent 4 weeks, a couple of weeks in the hospital and the rest in bed till we recovered. That was a gain of function experience because we got a large quantity of infectious material into our mouth. That's the only way you get a disease. You either inject it or you infuse it with a fork or your spoon or your knife or your glass. We are so ignorant.
Tom, remind me, you were a medical researcher for many years, and you've worked at the governmental level. So you've got a lot of research behind what you're saying, correct?
Yes. I'm not. What's really sad is for the first half of my life, I was party to that program, the AMA. I worked in pathology. I dealt with the diseases, identifying the diseases. Many times I was disappointed when I would try to tell the doctor, the family, this baby died of a cow infection or a chicken infection. But you can't do that because you'll offend people. And I offend people even on RBN. I say, listen, disease only moves in flesh or materials of animal tissue. You don't get the COVID from the air. You don't get the COVID from doing what Christ did, putting his hands upon the sick and giving them a blessing and then going to bless somebody else. So either God is stupid or man is stupid. Which one?
I'm just playing the devil's advocate, and I got a couple other callers. The average person would probably say, but Tom, somebody's caught a cold and they go visit their sister. Next thing you know, two or three people got a cold. Doesn't that suggest that goes through the air? And I'm not saying that's my opinion. I'm saying that's what a lot of people would say upon hearing what you're saying for the first time. You visit someone that's got a bad cold or flu and you catch it from them and it seems to be airborne. What would you say to that?
You're all drinking from the same filthy tit in the community. Federated Dairies was buying. See, I used to be a dairyman. On the side, I was, well, that's what was my side business, my family business. In fact, I obtained the title Vegan Cowboy when I became a vegetarian or vegan. And I would be a regular guest on local talk radio, generally to create controversy. They love controversy. But I said, listen, I was party to both sides of the problem. I gave you the disease, and then I drugged you for the disease. What a perfect business model, right? So people say, well, but we get colds from visiting grandma. I said, yeah, if you take the incubation time back up, and the incubation will not be always the same for everybody, but you'll find out that back in the days before, you both drank from the same Federated Dairy product or the same poultry product or the same butcher shop. So when you go to the store, you're buying tissues that came from a consolidation of animals. So if you got one sick animal in the herd, it'll infect everything that's put in that receiving tank for the milk, for example. And I ran dairy. I ran dairy. My father ran poultry ranch. We always had poultry or livestock operations in the family business. So, is it
interesting?
Any wonder
that Tom, just to be ultra clear on what you mean, because we've talked before on this show, you're basically saying that the consumption of animal products, due to contamination, due to the state of being of many of these animals, et cetera, is something that's the main conveyor or transport system for illness and disease. And I think what your philosophy is to be largely vegan, or at least vegetarian, if not vegan, because if I'm not mistaken, you're saying that actually consuming animal products, contrary to popular belief, and that includes the conservative culture in a way, but the consumption of animals, whatever animal product it might be it dairy milk, be it meat, is basically a no-no based on, at the very least, the way the animals are raised, the chemicals they're given. Is it that? Let me nail this down. Is it the way the animals are raised, therefore we shouldn't consume much, if any, animal product, or shouldn't we consume it at all, regardless of how cleanly or organically these things are done? But which do you think it is?
Well, if you don't want to be pregnant, don't have any sex, because one sperm will make you 100% pregnant, correct? If you're a
yeah.
woman, there is no 10% pregnant or 20% pregnant. So if you want to avoid the disease, follow the advice that God gave to Adam and Eve from the very beginning. Multiply and replenish the earth, the soil, that is. And then you nourish yourself on the herbs that have seed, the fruit that has seed. By the way, here's a curiosity. No pathogen can be cultured in vegetable material. I even get a kick out of my conversations with Pat. She worked in the labs. I say, did you ever culture any pathogen in potatoes, carrots, bananas, you know, apples? No. You have to have an animal tissue to culture any pathogen that attacks man or beast. The reason the animals don't suffer so much is because God, in his wisdom, raised their temperature. They're living in an automatic fever, and that suppresses the activity of the pathogens, but at the same time stimulates the activity of their immune system. And by the way, a cow, when it gets sick, it doesn't come up and say, hey, I got a bad stomach, I got a headache. They don't do that. They can't do that. So you don't know whether that animal's sick or not until you have the veterinary pathologist, which is what I did for the first half of my life. I worked for Ezra Taft Benson initially, Secretary of Ag, identifying diseases in the animals. We are the one that cleared the nation of polio, because we culled out the animals, the cows that had high titers of polio, bovine polii. That was the reduction of polio in the United States, not Sabin or Salk. That was all.
Tom, I got to get to the other callers.
Okay, good.
We can't get too in depth in this, but I've always found it very interesting and fascinating to consider that point of view. We've talked before, and it's interesting, if not a little unsettling, to look at that. I know some would say, well, if you raise the animals with good animal husbandry and you practice good stewardship and you don't use chemicals and growth hormones and antibiotics, that you're going to do a lot better. I suppose you would do better, but what you seem to be saying is that the consumption of animal products.
I produce organic milk and organic eggs, but the fact is the flies don't care. Flies don't care. Flies go from one infected animal to another animal. The first experience that a calf experiences it is a family of flies. So from the get-go, that calf is infected with the transfer of tissues from the biting flies. Nobody realizes
that's sufficient. That's a lot to bite off and chew in the limited amount of time we got. I got a couple more callers, but always fascinating, Tom. It's very thought-provoking. And it's in Texas, where brisket is one of the favorite meals. It's a tough thing to look at.
Yeah.
I won't lie to you. But at any rate, thank you for your insights.
Well, I used to be a rancher dairyman. Listen, I used to be a rancher dairyman. I should be the first one to defend that industry. But in fact, you know it when you work it.
I understand. But very, very good. Very good input. Moving on, Tom. We got to keep moving and try and be halfway balanced here with the other callers. I believe David from Massachusetts is next.
Correct.
Oh, hello. Hello, Mark, and hello, Lon.
Hello. Hey, David.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Mark. I miss you the other days of the week now. At least you're on Wednesday. But, hey, you mentioned abortion earlier in the show, Mark. And I'm sure, Mark, because you stay on top of these things, but I personally find it outrageous that the Catholic priest, Father Frank Pavone has been defrocked by the Vatican for blasphemy. But what an honor for Father Frank Pavone to be defrocked and to be accused of blasphemy, just the same as his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was accused of blasphemy just before they stripped him of his holy robe. And, they defrocked him. They literally defrocked, derobed him, took his robe off. And, yeah, he was the founder of Priests for Life, and he's the founder of Project Rachel's Vineyard, and he was maybe one of the most effective forces to get this abortion under control. He was just against the abuses of abortion. He wasn't against abortion for medical emergencies. He fought the abuse, and we all know abortion's being abused. But when I think of all these pedophile priests and all these horrible Roman Catholic priests, and for that wicked evil Vatican to defrock Father Frank Pavone for the charge of blasphemy because he wants to save innocent babies from being butchered.
Slow down a little bit. What is the priest's name who was defrocked? Say the name again.
Oh, he's very famous, Father Frank Pavone, and it's an Italian name. In Italian, you'd probably say Pavone, but he pronounced it Pavone. Frank Pavone.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh yeah, Mark. He's like in terms of name recognition in the Catholic community and everything. He's probably the foremost fighter for the for innocent babies, Father Frank Pavone, but. The Vatican actually defrocked him. He's no longer a priest. He's been defrocked under the charge of blasphemies. You should check in. Mark, just out of curiosity, I don't judge people by their religion, but if I may, I would never ask you what your religion is or anything, but can I ask you if such as myself, I was raised Catholic, but are you from a Catholic background? Were you raised Catholic? Was your family Catholic, Mark?
No, raised Lutheran, but I joined the Catholic Church when I married my current wife, Angie, and I took the classes and whatnot. I've always believed that the post-Vatican II Catholic Church has been very problematic. Pre-Vatican II, there was much more substance to it. You had Father Charles Coughlin, the radio priest. You had a lot of very good pastors in the church and much better popes like Pius the 11th and Leo the 13th that wrote some very good economic encyclicals. But in recent years, especially this current pope, we have got a real problem. Pope Francis deserves no respect whatsoever. He is an absolute disgrace.
The Filipino people are predominantly Catholic, and what you went through is they call it the RCIA. The Christian Initiation for Adults there, the RCIA, huh? There's the classes. It's called RCIA, and Christian Initiation for Adults and everything. And to be baptized in the Catholic Church and for people that want to their confirmation and all that business. Yeah, because I met Angie, and I've had a lot of Filipino friends up a yellow cab up in Anchorage, Alaska. I drove for, and there was a lot of Filipino drivers because it was owned by a Filipino man, Mario Taralba, and they're very fine people. They were our great allies during World War II. General MacArthur thought the world of the Filipino people. And check it out, Mark. Father Frank Pavone actually defrocked for blasphemy. In other words, it's blasphemy to want to, to want to save innocent babies. And Mark, it may be a little bit of humor here, or black humor, Irish black humor on my part, but, Karl Marx there said that religion was the opiate of the people. So what I call Pope Francis, this first Jesuit pope, and he was also I know we're running out of time, but he was also in that military junta down in Argentina. He was the cardinal with all the desaparecidos when all the people were disappeared, and the military junta in Argentina. But I call him, Mark said the religion's the opiate of the people. I call this Jesuit Pope, Marxist Pope Francis, the popiate of the people. He's the popiate of the people, okay? I have no
David, I'm showing, for the video component of this, I'm showing Mr. Pavone's image on the screen for those that tune in live or on the archive for the video version of this, livestream.com/Ron Avery, A-V-E-R-Y, /stop the presses. It's an NBC News headline, anti-abortion priest Frank Pavone defrocked for blasphemous posts on social media, they're saying. The Vatican ambassador to the U.S. said there is no chance for Pavone, who heads the anti-abortion group Priests for Life, to appeal. And, of course, the media has to call it an anti-abortion group, not a pro-life group, because they're instructed to do that in their Associated Press writing style handbooks that all reporters must use. And I interestingly, Frank Pavone is shown here on a radio show wearing his usual garb, but his hat is a red hat, Make America Great Again. That might have been his other unforgivable sin right there, David.
yeah. They say because he was a Trump supporter. And, but you know, in light of all these pedophile priests, and I'm up here in Boston, there's lots of them, Mark, and you don't hear about it anymore because the Catholic Church throws all this money at all the victims to silence, hush money. But the condition of the hush money, the financial settlement, is that you never talk about it sexually being abused by the priests ever again and everything. But when I think of all these pedophile priests, all these wicked, you know, of all the people that defrock a wonderful man like Father Frank Pavone, you know, he's right up there with Father Coughlin, Charles Coughlin, you know, only the good guys get silenced by that wicked, evil Roman Catholic whore. I believe it's the great whore, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I don't appreciate that Catholic Church trying to destroy Orthodox Christianity in Russia. The Orthodox Christians, they believe that the apostolic succession went up through Andrew. It wasn't exclusively through Peter to Rome. And it's outrageous what that Roman Catholic Church is doing to Orthodox Christianity. That's not talked about at all, Mark, but this is a big component on the rape of Mother Russia, you know?
David, we're going to have to wind up. We're getting to the end of the show. Unfortunately, I can't take the last caller, but I don't know that I would go so far as to put down the Catholic Church quite that hard. But I will say that I've heard that some people believe that the Eastern Orthodox Church is the real Catholic Church and that the Roman one is a fraud. I've heard that. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard that view.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, well, thanks for taking my call if I'm still on the air. And may God bless you, gentlemen.
Okay, apologies to the New York caller. We do our best to get through the comments. Time flies when you're having fun. Please call back to this show and other shows. Stay tuned for the next show here on RBN. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been Stop the Presses. I'm your host, Mark Anderson. Have a great Wednesday and the rest of the week. Remember, fight the pandemic treaty. Have a good one.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.